This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station. Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. Hope you're all having a great day out there. We got a big show coming your way, so if you're going to be in your car or next to your computer, wherever you're listening to the show, stay there. Don't move. Good stuff coming your way. 3 o'clock, Mark Schlereth will join us as he does every week. Jason Mackey of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette will join us at 4 o'clock. We'll get a closer look at Brian Reynolds and what the Pirates may be asking in exchange for him, what kind of guy he is, player, all of that good stuff. Potential target for the Seattle Mariners, so that will come up at 4 o'clock. El Hombre, Michael Bradley, joins us at 5. And then Colby Parkinson in our player spotlight coming up at 5:30 today. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. So a packed show, Dave. Big packed show.
Yes, indeed. And going to kind of unpack some of this Seahawks stuff. Talk about the shift a little bit today, which I'm excited about for that. I'm getting more and more excited about that for the Mariners and Major League Baseball next year. But, yeah, I always look forward to Tuesdays with El Hombre and Mark Schlereth. Two of, you know, it's kind of my buddy. From the past, and your buddy from the past, El Hombre.
We're just bringing up
El Hombre.
Where did I meet him?
Yeah, like how did you guys ever get together?
He used to write for Sporting News, the magazine, and when I was doing national radio for Sporting News Radio Network, they purchased the magazine, so they became one entity. So we would always have writers on. That's how I met a few people. Bob Glauber I met through there, even though he didn't. Yeah. I think he did some stuff for the magazine. But, so it was through Sporting News that I met him.
Oh, cool.
And then, yeah, he used to just be our college football guy. We only had him on during college football season, but he follows everything and certainly has an opinion on everything. So
yes, he does.
He's an entertaining guy, so it just grew from there. We had him on every weekend, and then he's kind of followed me wherever I've gone. So, yeah, and, you know, that's Seattle's win, as he'll tell you. that he's on out here.
He says, you're welcome, Seattle.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah. You know, it was funny yesterday. We were, you guys can text in throughout the show, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. We were talking Seahawks yesterday, and somebody sent in a picture. They texted in a picture, a little article, I think, perhaps, showing Geno and Ken Walker yelling at each other on the sideline and saying, are you guys going to address this? And I'm thinking, or talk about this or something. I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember exactly what they wrote. But something about, is this going to be talked about? I'm thinking, why? That's literally every single game, every single Sunday. You're going to see whether it's a quarterback and a receiver, quarterback, running back, defensive players chirping at each other. It happens every single week. So maybe it's not always caught on camera, but Dave, you know better than anybody how common that is. In practice, I've seen it 8 million times. It's just not a thing, and I think I forget that often you don't see it on camera, so maybe it is, especially when it's your home team, your favorite team. Maybe you're a little worried. It's jarring, perhaps.
Yeah, I would say, though, because we've talked about this, and we're going to hear from Pete here in a minute about Geno. He's different than other quarterbacks. I have to say that because it's not often. You and I always tell the same story about Dan Marino. What was it, the first game you worked on the sidelines?
Yeah, with James Lofton holding batteries for his wireless mic.
Yeah. So that's where you started. So some of these people that think, you know, that get into the radio business and like 2 years later they have a hosting job, they don't know the journey that you need to go on, right, Bob?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a long one.
So, yeah.
It's a long one.
Exactly. So, yeah, I've started off doing like, you know, pregame in 2004 as I was doing pregame, and then I got on to postgame, and then
see, you had a better start. I started out running the board for the Tacoma Rainiers.
Right.
That's what I was doing, pushing buttons during their games.
Yeah, so anyway, I digress because you were on the sidelines and you saw Dan Marino out there screaming and yelling at his receivers.
Beat red face, just expletive, expletive, expletive. Yep. I saw the center. I can't remember who the center was screaming at Dave Craig, yelling at him, throw the bleeping ball.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just, and it was, you know, I had never been around that. I'm like, oh, my God, they hate each other. This is awful.
Right,
But then, obviously, you learn over the years how common that is. I look up and I see Tom Brady screaming from the bench. They're showing a highlight of him yelling out of frustration. It's just how it goes.
Yeah, but, you know, and I've kind of made the excuse, and like I said, we'll get to the hot-headed Geno, but he's just different, though. I mean, he's a little bit more of like one of the rank-and-file players. I've always said, look, the quarterbacks are kind of like management. They're sort of like, you know, they're almost like a coach. You don't. And so the fact that Geno had gotten in a fight, you know, I think I kind of discounted him a little bit for that, because I'm like, I just never heard of that before. You know,
not a quarterback.
Yeah. Quarterbacks just don't do that. I mean, that's a fight. I was just talking to somebody about the fight that I had with Keith Millard, who was a defensive tackle. It was on the tarmac at SeaTac, and somebody saw it and like called into one of the radio shows. But it's kind of a long story because we were friends. Mm-hmm. But on the flight back from Kansas City, he just started giving me a bunch of crap. And he was, I don't know what was wrong with him. He was off center or something. I don't know. He got benched. And he traded something to the Kansas City Chiefs for their snap count. Like, they're going to give him their snap count. Okay. And so he jumped off
trading info.
It was something else. Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, I can't really say, but yeah, so he jumped off sides like three times and got benched. So, and I was sitting next to our nose tackle, Joe Nash, who replaced him, and he was coming by and he was, you know, mumbling something at, I don't know if it was Joe or me. And I'm like, who are you talking to, man? What's your problem? So then we get out onto the, he called me a sorry mother bleeper.
Okay. Wow.
And he called me like three times. And I'm like, if he calls me that one more time, we're going. And so I walk past him to go on the bus. He calls me that. I drop my bag, turn around. I don't even know what happened. The only thing I remember is I slammed him against the bus and I had my left hand on his neck. And when I've told the story with Danny before, I'm like, I can still feel the fleshiness of his neck. And then my right fist, I ball up and I'm getting ready to punch him. And Tom Catlin, our defensive coordinator, who I didn't realize he was that strong, man. He was an old man. He comes and grabs me and pulls me off. So, I mean,
it's old man strength.
Yeah. And then, you know, I got a call from Keith Millard. He got kicked off the team. Because, you know, it wasn't just that. There was a whole bunch of other things that he had done. Like, he skipped a surgery, you know, which I'd never heard of. So he ends up calling me like a day later and go, hey, did you get kicked off the team too? And I'm like, no, because I didn't do all the things that you did. So anyway, yeah, I mean, look, a linebacker and a defensive lineman, yeah, they you get in fights. But not usually a quarterback, but Geno's just different, I think, and we're starting to kind of find that out. I don't know about you, Bob. I've heard him in the, you know, press conferences, obviously, but I've never spoken to Geno.
No.
I don't think we've never had him on our
show.
Never had
him
on. Really,
as a backup, obviously, there was never really a reason to request him because, in, you know, not that they would have brought him anyway, but, I mean, he was the backup. Russell never missed a moment. So,
right.
You know, what's the conversation you're going to have with him? And since he's been, you know, even when he was filling in for Russell last year, and then so far this year, we haven't spoken to him. He does the podium after the game and whatever else he does. But yeah.
Yeah. We just don't know what kind of guy he is. So, but he's just, obviously he's very different, which is fine. You know, I mean, you can get it done that way. So, yeah, I remember screaming at Rusty Tillman one time on the sidelines. Both of us were going at each other, and then afterwards we're like, you know, I loved Rusty. And
it's common. I think what happened, in my opinion, is that we got so used to a guy for 10 years in Russell Wilson that no matter what was going on, you saw him going up and down the bench, you know, patting the guys on the shoulder, clapping his hand. We got this. Come on. Even the times you thought, that's ridiculous. You're losing. You're gonna lose it or whatever. But he was just consistent in the opposite way. I don't ever remember seeing him look angry, like yelling at anybody. I think, who was it? Was it Penny that came into a game after being out for a long time? He fumbled the ball or something. There was a miscommunication with Penny, and he kind of, he's a little demonstrative. And I remember you and I talking about, like, whoa, we had never seen that out of Russ, where he looked legitimately frustrated.
I remember that. You're right. Yeah, he was, like, kind of putting his hands up, like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. But outside of that, where I think Seattle fans were so used to just seeing that guy who plays that position just constantly rah-rah, clapping the hands, come on, everything's great, we're going to be fine. And then to see Geno, looking very agitated with Ken Walker, who looked just as agitated. You know, maybe for some, that's like, whoa, what's happening here?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, really quick, who was the second round first draft running back out of Texas A&M? I don't know why I'm blanking on his name. That was ended up being kind of a clown, really super hard handshake.
Oh, Christian Michael.
Christian Michael.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, do you remember when he got in a game, he blows up the pass rusher and then stands over him and flexes?
Yes.
And Russell is looking for him as a check down.
Yes.
And throws the ball and it hits him in the back of the head.
Yes.
I think I saw Russ get annoyed that time.
As he should have. He should have picked the ball up, Dave, and thrown it at him a second time.
I know. Exactly. Here, let me hit the other side of your head.
In case you didn't feel that one, knucklehead.
But, yeah, I mean, I think I saw him get upset then. But you're right. I mean, Russ was just always Mr. Calm, Mr. Positive, you know. And so now you got a guy that's just a little bit different. We're kind of getting to know him. I think I wish we could get to know him quicker. I mean, look, now that he's the starter, he's just going to do the podium stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to get him. But I would love to, you know, have him come into that room and do a, you know, 10, 15-minute interview just to kind of see what kind of guy he is.
Well, here's Pete talking about him and just him being, as he calls him, a hothead and a great competitor.
We didn't have him in those situations enough to really know what it was going to be like. And we know Gino now. We know him and love him. And, you know, like all of us, you know, you take us for our good and our bad stuff. We don't all have it all right all the time. Gino has been remarkably on point, particularly when you've had a chance to interview him and you hear his response and how you know respects everybody and spreads it around to everybody and all that. Gino's a hothead now. He's a fierce competitor. And that doesn't mean that he's fierce and he's always right on point. You know, he's going to say the right thing. He's going to say the wrong thing. He's best when you guys see him. But out there now, he gets pissed. And so it's important that, you know, that we help him and that he knows now. He knows that in these settings that he might fly off the handle a little bit because he cares so much. But he's learned how to come right back.
Remember in the Charger game when Pete did that thing with his – where he runs his hand over his stomach, like, calm down,
yeah.
Gino. Yeah, because he knew. Yeah, and I that's the first time I became aware of the fact that Gino gets kind of lit up there on the sidelines. There's no problem with that, right? I mean, that's fine if that works for him.
The only way I'd have a problem with it is if the players had a problem with it. Then I'd be like, all right, well, you don't carry that weight yet. You don't have that respect yet. Or you know, they're not. You haven't done this long enough to earn that sort of, you know, leeway to light guys up or something. If it was poorly received in the locker room, then I would have a problem with it, obviously, because it'd be a negative situation. But if everybody has that respect, you know, the difference from the guys I've seen, it was Dan Marino, it was Tom Brady, it was, you know, guys that are pretty established superstars. Peyton Manning seemed doing that a few times. But these are guys that are the elite of the elite and had been that at those positions for a while. This is a kind of a different position for Gino because while he's been in the league for a decade, he hasn't been the leader. He hasn't been this guy, and this is all fairly new. So I could see, you know, maybe somebody would take exception to it. It doesn't seem like they did or do, but well, that would be the only thing I would question, the difference between the examples we brought up versus Gino.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, who's the other part of the argument?
Ken Walker.
What is Ken Walker?
He's a rookie. Doesn't mean he wasn't right. I don't know what they were arguing about, but
could be. Yeah. But still, I mean, yeah. And that's, you add that in there too. And it's like, yeah, come on, Rook.
Well, here's Pete talking about that specific situation.
Dave Canales is doing a great job coaching him, and Shane, a great job of coaching him so that we can keep him at that edge. We had a whole week basically talking about, you know, uncovering what that edge is and what's it all about and how do you get there, how do you hold it, and what's it like to operate with that, you know, you're on the brink of it all the time. Gino's one of those guys. He's willing to go there and love it about him. And he needs us. He knows that. We remind him, and he's great about it. He comes right back to. There was some John on the sidelines. Those guys were. That's because they wanted to get it right, and so they were trying to figure it out. And we don't always say things the right way, you know, when we're in those moments. And so sometimes it gets a little heated and frustrated. Well, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Don't always say that. That might be his way of being a little critical of it. Like, yeah, maybe you find a better way to approach him or something. You know, I don't think Pete wants that, but I don't think they're going to overreact when it does happen either.
Right. Yeah. So there's room for every kind of personality. And that's the thing about Pete. Like he, you know, just like the story I told yesterday about how there was another time where Pete came up to me and he was like, hey, you're a bad knee guy, right? I'm like, yeah, because I got to tell you about my knee doctor. You got to go to this guy. I'm telling you. And he was all like late going to a meeting. But like Pete just invests himself in every relationship that he has, mm-hmm. you know, that that he comes across. And so Gino, probably different than Russ, like you were describing earlier. And, you know, just I think he just kind of accepts it and knows. I think he's an expert at figuring out how to motivate guys and what to say to them. And yeah, he's like a psychiatrist, man. It's amazing.
Just moving on to some other things. We'll obviously get deeper into the Seahawks as the show goes on. But one of the things we've sort of touched on when it comes to baseball that'll be happening this season, Dave, and I don't really know what the impact is. I'm very, very curious to see. But the banning of the shift. And yeah. The one person I think of when it comes to the shift is Kyle Seager. I just picture him at home going, really? You're going to do that after I retire? You couldn't have done that? Because yeah. It just felt like, and again, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but it felt like above anybody on this roster, he hit into the shift more. It just right. was, there were guys that were just stubborn that I'm going to try to hit it through the shift. I'm going to power it that direction. They'd try to pull the outside pitch and roll over on it. And his image is always what comes to mind. So I'm going to be very, very interested to see what the impact is just across the league, certainly, and then with the Mariners. But Scott Service was on MLB Network talking about, you know, whether he or not he was a fan of banning the shift.
Well, it's going to help offense, and we got to be realistic here. We need to create more action in our game. You know, the strikeout, the home run becoming so prevalent. So hopefully creating more offense, you'll see more athletic plays on the field. Stealing bases will come back into the game, and batting average will start to rise. I truly believe it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just read an article today by Tom Verducci, mm-hmm. and he's talking about the shift. And it really, you know, when it really took off and just became so prominent was when Houston won the World Series in 2017. They were in the shift 35% of the time during the regular season. That was a record. But now the 35% since 2017 has been exceeded by 11 teams. So yeah. 11 teams last year were over 35% in the shift. And, you know, he was estimating that over the last 7 years, 2,000 hits have been taken away. So the average Major League Baseball batting average was .243, which is the fifth worst ever and worst ever since 1954 last year. And I think he thinks that it's going to be, he said it's going to go to from .243 to .255, which would be the highest since 2011. So get ready for, I think it's, I don't know, I was kind of treating the shift as like, yeah, I think it's stupid because you should be able to do whatever you want, but I think we're going to see a lot more exciting baseball.
I hope so. I hope that's, you know, there are some people, and you guys can text in on this, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Do you think it's going to be a dramatic change? Are we going to see, you know, skyrocketing batting averages and more hits? Is it going to be that obvious, or do you think it's going to be more of a muted improvement? Because I've heard people on both sides making the case, well, here's why I think it's not going to be as big a deal as some think. Here, somebody on the other side of it with the polar opposite opinion. I'll tell you exactly why it's going to be a big deal. And they start talking about guys who hit the shift this many times, and these would have been hits. And I'm guessing it probably falls somewhere in between, Dave. I think it's hard to determine what it's going to ultimately look like. It's hard to believe it's going to have no impact. I think it certainly will have an impact. It's just, is it going to be as big as some think it will be?
Yeah, I just wonder how many times you're going to see a hit and go, oh, they had the shift on, that would be an out. But, you know, I think the other thing is the Mariners went and got Teoscar Hernandez, and the one thing they said, first thing they said about him is that he hits the ball really hard. And that's one of the things that the shift has taken away. Over the last 7 years, it's reduced hard-hit balls. This is just Verducci's numbers that he came up with, but he said the shift reduced hard hit balls, which is 90 miles an hour or more, by 80 points 80 points as far as batting average goes. So that's the thing I think you're going to see. I mean, a regular dribbler is going to be a dribbler no matter what. It's going to be an out. But if you see some hard hit balls get through, you know, that's going to be the effect. And I don't know if you're going to sit there and go, is it going to be that obvious that, oh, if the shift was on, that would have been an out or what?
Yeah,
but
some will.
Yeah,
some will.
But I remember Shannon during the season saying that with their lineup at the time, now I don't know if that's still the case, but she was saying with the Mariners that at that time they were going to be the ones to benefit the most from the shift as far as their batting average goes.
Yeah, maybe it helps, you know, especially some of the pole guys that you aren't going the other way that often. You know, Kelnick, young guy, Trammell, young guy, they tend to pull the ball when they do hit it on the ground. So maybe we'll see improvements there depending on how much they're playing. I don't know. I'm just excited to see it. I'm excited to see, hey, you're going to see, you know, a different level of attention being paid to the athleticism of your infielders, specifically first and second base. Right. So it's gonna be a different approach. It's gonna be fun to watch, and we'll talk more about that. But let's take two.
Well, according to Ian Rappaport, the Seahawks have signed running back Wayne Gallman, the 2017 fourth round pick of the Giants, rushed for 135 yards against Seahawks in 2020. Hasn't been in the NFL since 2021, though, although he was recently on the Chiefs practice squad.
Wait, hold on a minute, Mike. He ran for how many yards against the Seahawks in 2020?
135.
Oh, my God.
The game they lost to Colt McCoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going, oh, my God, you're kidding me. I can't believe. I just can't believe that they gave up that much yardage to a guy who we just picked up off the street.
Well, the defense has been a problem for a number of seasons, Dave. I'm surprised that you're surprised by that.
Well, I mean, back in 2020, it's one thing if... Well, I remember Cam Akers ran all over him, too, in that playoff game. So, yeah, there were problems with that defense. But anyway, I mean, it's good to know that at least he has the potential to do that. And they certainly need depth at running back.
Well, this is going to become interesting for a potential Week 18 matchup. Baker Mayfield was claimed on waivers by the Rams. They'll owe just $1.35 million remaining on his contract this year, and he certainly could be the starter when the Seahawks face them again in the finale.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what becomes of him and how quickly he learns the offense and the players, and are they, you know, in a hurry to throw him in there as a starter? Do they feel okay with Wofford in there? Or... I don't know. I don't know what they. I mean, the season's over for them, so I don't know what their priorities are at that spot. But could be an interesting matchup in the final week of the season. And Dave, I don't know if you're aware, but the Seahawks open the season with former Seahawk Russell Wilson, and they end the season with former Seahawk Bobby Wagner. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I think Mike Lefko brought that to my attention a long ago.
Certainly was a big deal for Bobby Wagner, so yeah. I thought it'd be a big deal.
I know. Well, we were talking about Baker Mayfield yesterday a little bit, but how he has fallen.
Yeah.
Since 2020, they made the playoffs, right, that year? Mm-hmm. They were 11-5. They went to Kansas City, almost beat them. And then since then, he's gone 7-13 as far as his win-loss record goes. And... you know, threw six interceptions, six touchdowns so far this year. So we'll see if he I'll tell you what, that Wofford guy threw a couple of beautiful passes, but I don't know that he's a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield.
All right, Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Coming up, does the Seahawks' upcoming opponent provide a cautionary tale about the dangers of picking a quarterback in the top five? We'll get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Coming up at 3 o'clock, Mark Schlereth will join us as he does each and every week here with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. So we just talked about Baker Mayfield. We'll see him at the end of the season, Dave.
Yeah.
He's picked up by the Rams. In case you guys are just tuning in, the Rams picked him up off of waivers.
Yeah, he's going to be there along with Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we bookended the season with Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, we should have brought that up before. That's a unique fact. But so the Panthers traded for Baker. That didn't work out, obviously. They had Sam Darnold, benched him. Now they've gone back to him. So we were talking about this yesterday off the air, just the idea that the Seahawks are going to be in a really unique position of having what looks like almost assuredly a top five pick. Now, they haven't had a top five pick since Pete and John have been here. And in fact, we looked it up yesterday, Lefko. Was it Aaron Curry, the last top five pick they took?
Yeah, Aaron Curry in 09.
That's the last time they've picked in the top five. That's crazy.
Can we just pause on that for 1 second? There was nothing to indicate that he wasn't going to be able to play in the NFL.
No. He was a monster.
He was so good in college.
Yeah, that was a consensus pick. Nobody was ripping the Seahawks for taking Aaron Curry there. That was the obvious pick. And, you know, now years later, people will be like, I knew he wasn't going to be any good. No, you didn't.
Nobody. And I remember somebody in our office just kept going, oh, Wyman was so in love with him. Everybody was.
Yes.
Nobody thought that was a bad pick.
So this will be the first time, assuming that the things hold true and the Broncos continue to stink and then the Seahawks have their first round pick, that they'll be, let's just go with top five pick. Let's say that's where they're picking. First time in under the Pete and John regime. Now, the feeling, obviously, before the season was that's when you go get your quarterback. They're going to find their new quarterback in the draft, and they may still do something like that. I don't know. But does it give you pause, Dave? Does it give you pause when you look at the history of quarterbacks taken in the first round and the top five? There weren't any in this most recent draft. There were no top five quarterbacks. Year before, it was Trevor Lawrence, who, to me, the jury's still out. He's certainly got ability, but has it matured to the point where you go, yep, I see why everybody was talking about him as maybe one of the greatest college players to come out at that position. There was a lot of high praise for him. Zach Wilson, benched. Trey Lance, incomplete.
Broken.
Yeah, broken. you go the year before, Joe Burrow looks fantastic. Yes, love that guy. Love the way he plays. Tua was the other quarterback. He got off to a rough start to the point where the Dolphins were in every single rumor surrounding Deshaun Watson or just about any other quarterback, to where it just felt like, yeah, I don't know if he's the guy. And we'll see. He's having a good year. He's having a really good year, and he's a great guy. But that one's still, to me, a little bit incomplete. I'm not sure if you look at him and go, yep, our problems are solved at that position for years to come. Year before that, Kyler Murray. No, not feeling that one at all. Year before that, 2018, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. We just talked about that.
Yeah.
Year before that, these are just top five quarterbacks. Mitch Trubisky, Bears moved up to take him, number two overall in 2017. And then 2016, your favorite quarterback, Jared Goff, and Carson Wentz. That's not a stellar list of quarterbacks in the top five in the last 10 years.
No, not in the last 10, but, you know, if you go back and, like, Carson Palmer, I think he was the number one pick. Matt Ryan was number three. Philip Rivers was number four. Eli, number one, remember, that year. Yeah.
But 15, you still have Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, both of which are, Mariota's there just kind of as a placeholder. Jameis isn't even playing. He's a backup. Right. Blake Bortles in 2014. And then 2013, no quarterbacks taken in the top five.
Yeah, and then, if you go back and look at, some of the better players, I guess, if you like Derek Carr, he was a second rounder. Dak Prescott was a fourth rounder. Tom Brady was a sixth rounder. So, yeah, I don't think having a top five pick, I'm not sure. I think that's where you try to get a pass rusher or somebody, like I always say, plays on the outside of the field, you know, that's very athletic. But, yeah, it certainly hasn't. And Trevor Lawrence, he's having a pretty good year right now, though. Now, he's 4-8, but almost 66% completion percentage, 17 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So maybe he's the
starting
one guy.
Starting to find it.
Yeah, but that's it, man. I really don't see Trey Lance. I don't get it. I don't get him. Like you said, Tua is very up and down. Joe Burrow is really the only one over the last 5 years that looks like he's really good. I like his demeanor too, man.
Yeah,
that guy's,
I'm a big Joe Burrow fan. I like Tua as well. I think he's an incredibly good person. You hear him speak and loved him in college, but coming out of college, I was like, I'm not sold on him at the next level. And then the first 2 years, Remember the Bills front office, or Bills, the Dolphins front office getting all the questions, or the coaches, hey, Tua's our quarterback. Is he your quarterback? We don't, I mean, just all of those conversations because of all their interest in other quarterbacks out there. So it felt like they didn't believe in him completely. And he's having his career year right now. I mean, last year he was 16 touchdowns, 10 interceptions in 13 games, completed 67% of his passes for 2,600 yards. In today's game, he's not throwing for a lot of yards. That's not a lot of yards at all. And then so far this year, completely different. 21 touchdowns, 5 picks, and he's thrown for 2,859 yards in 10 games so far. So he's having a career year and completing 68.1% of his passes. So is this who he is moving forward? We'll see. But to this point, his own organization was doubting him. He was answering questions about it. They were answering questions about Deshaun Watson, all of that. So, yeah, it's just the point being, it's really top five is nice. Gives you, you know, you're picking ahead of just about everybody, but you better make the right decision to state the obvious there, because we've seen a lot of high dollar mistakes.
Yeah. Well, and look, if the right guy's there, they'll pick him in the top five. If it is somebody like Philip Rivers or something like that, but you know, I don't know if they want to go through that whole franchise quarterback drama thing again, you know, and then having that suck up the, you know, I was reading the other day, by the way, the three players that were out for the Rams, those guys comprised, I want to say it was like 37% or 38% of their salary cap, those three players. So
I actually would have thought it was more, to be honest.
Yeah.
Those two of them are on fresh new, well, I guess all three are on new deals, right?
Yeah, I'll have to ask a Condota, because you know there's 50, you know, some guys, right, that make up, but I think Bob was the one that wrote it, and yeah, it was like well over a third. But you know, and if you get a quarterback, then you're going to go through that whole thing. But you know, the first 3-4 years are pretty lovely, right?
Yeah, because you're going to have to pay Geno next year.
Yeah,
so exactly. That's going to take a big. He will be the highest paid player on this team.
Yeah,
you would assume so. Yeah, depending on how long the deal is and all that, how they structure it. But, yeah, you got to pay somebody at that spot.
Exactly.
So we'll see what they do. Hey, a reminder, Seattle Sports has your chance to win tickets to see the Seahawks play host to the 49ers on December 15th for Thursday Night Football at Lumen Field. For info and a direct link to enter the sweepstakes, just text the word Thursday to our text line at 866-979-3776. Again, text the word Thursday to 866-979-3776 for a link to enter. All right. There was a big shakeup in the college football world over the weekend. We'll get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Mark Schlereth will join us on the program. So stay tuned for that. Always Radio Gold with Stank. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710. I just sent you a text, Dave. You weren't seeing me on the video stream there. I was trying to get your attention. So I need you to answer that question before we move on.
Sorry about that. Yes. I'm going to be a grandpa.
Congratulations.
And I just found out it's a boy.
I thought you guys knew what the gender was.
We did not know. They just went and found out. So, and I was saying it was going to be a girl, but hopefully it'll be a happy, healthy boy who is not nearly as accident-prone as his grandfather.
That would be hard to do.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome. Did they name him Bob, or what did they go with?
Robert, actually.
Robert?
Yeah. No, I'm not sure about the name. But
Lefko.
Lefko.
That's the name.
That's how they're going to talk to him. Hey,
was that you, Mike?
Yeah, that was me.
Nice.
How funny would that be if that was his name, but that's how they said it every time they addressed him? Lefko. Could you put that down? Lefko. It's time to get up. Let's go. No, that's awesome news. Congratulations. Make sure you pass that along to Jake and his lovely wife and Shannon. Why? Is that weird? You guys are grandparents.
Well, we're going to be here pretty soon, man. Yeah, it is weird. Like my dad always said, you know, I don't mind being a grandpa. I just don't know about sleeping with a grandma. That's kind of weird.
That's weird when you say it like that. Yeah,
that doesn't go over very well, Bob.
Yeah, that's I can imagine it was poorly received.
My dad is very corny, but that one was very funny.
That is very funny. Hey, some news in the world of college football coaching we didn't get to yesterday, and that is the new head coach for the Colorado Buffaloes, Prime. He likes to call himself Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. Wow. He certainly made his name at a lower level school, the school that wasn't, I think, what was he? He lost only five times in his time there, right?
Yeah, it was something really good. But it was something really good. It was an FCS school.
Well, I understand.
And he's recruiting much more talented players there.
Yeah, it just seems like he's got a knack when it comes to recruiting. Now, there's a video of him addressing the team, Dave, that some took exception to. I don't know if you've seen this or heard this yet, but I watched it and I kind of went, yeah, that makes sense to me. I didn't really get upset. Tell me what you think if you haven't heard this, and you guys can weigh in on the text as well.
We got a few positions already taken care of because I'm bringing my luggage with me. And it's Louie. Okay. It ain't going to be no more of a mess that these wonderful fans, the student body, and some of your parents have put up with for probably two decades now. I'm coming. And when I get him, it's going to be changed. So I want y'all to get ready to go ahead and jump in that portal and do whatever you're going to get. Because the more you jump in, the more room you make.
So could you hear everything he was saying there?
Was it that he was ripping the past? Or
No, it was more about, he said, I got some of these positions taken care of because I brought my luggage with me. And it's Louis. Right. Louis Vuitton. But I think he's talking about players to occupy those spots. And then at the end, he said, go ahead and get in that portal, the transfer portal, if you want. So, yeah. I mean, some people we know in the building taking exception to it. And I don't know. To me, that was a new head coach saying, you're with me or you're not. This is going to be a different. We're not going to accept losing. We're not going to accept what the status quo has been here. And if it's not going to be you guys, I've got the guys that are going to do it. Is that outrageous or?
No, I guess not. It's just, it's very unorthodox. I mean, you've never heard any coach say that before, right?
Yeah, calling their players' luggage Louis.
Yeah, I couldn't even understand that part of it. But, he's just very different. And it's kind of interesting that he wanted to go into coaching too because, you know, again, there's so much time that you put into it. And you know, for a guy that's made as much money as he's made, that he could just relax and, you know, maybe do some broadcasting stuff or whatever. But he's fully invested in it, and I just think it makes it very interesting. Like, I could not care about, I don't care about the Colorado Buffaloes and their program. They're in the Pac-12. That's great. But now I'm going to be paying attention to them and I'm going to be watching them. The portal thing is just so far, you know, along now that I've just accepted it, that's just what, you know, what kids are doing. I used to always say, nah, I don't like it. I like the way it was before, but before they would give a kid a 4-year scholarship no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, now they're yanking scholarships. So now the players can, you know, go somewhere else if something happens. So I think it's all working out. I mean, it seems like college football is still very much alive. And, you know, every time I see a freaking Ohio State game, I'm like, there's like 102,000 people in there.
Yeah.
And it's packed.
Yep. There's a frenzy. There's a fever for it there, certainly. The 253 says that clip is very biased. If you listen to the whole entire thing, he states it doesn't sound as bad as what everybody's making it to be. I didn't think that clip was bad. I know some felt that way. I don't know. To me, that was just a new head coach who's basically saying what we've heard every coach say. Hey, you're with me. Jump on. If you don't want to be here, there's the portal. I mean, I would think that's true of any coach entering into a situation. Who's with me? I need to know who I've got by my side. And if it's not you, I've got the guys that want to be here. I don't think it was outrageous. I don't know. I was a little confused why people were upset.
Well, how many people, you know, hadn't really heard from Deion before? You know, I mean, I think those of us that have been around since and following him, you know, he's going to say things like that. So, yeah, I'm just very curious to see what happens. I really don't care that much about what he said there, but, you know, that's he's going to bring a certain amount of excitement. So, but before we go to break, really quick, lots of people really nice saying congratulations about me being a grandfather. There was really a funny one in here that says, how in the hell is this the first time that you're a grandpa? How in the hell is this your first grandkid?
Yeah, well,
I'm on 206. I'm not that old, man.
Somebody, yeah, I saw somebody check in saying they've got seven or something like that. Yeah. Grandpa Dave, you've earned the right to buy yourself some hearing aids.
Yes, there we go. All right. I know everybody, the texters always turn it into mean text, which is fine. That's funny. It's good.
Yeah. Oh, there's the one. I say, how the hell is this your first grandkid? Yeah.
Anyway, all of you, I appreciate that.
Yeah, good stuff.
Even the ones taking shots.
Good stuff. Grandson Bob is going to be great in the Wyman. Old Bob Wyman, I tell you what, that kid's got it going on.
If I had to go between Bob and Lefko. I might go with Lefko.
It's a great name, right?
Oh, Lefko really Wyman. That'd be an odd first name.
I need to say it right.
Lefko. All right. Coming up, it's always must listen when this guy is on with us. The one, the only, Mark Schlereth joins us next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.